All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number as Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, we're now $30 trillion in debt. And during the wars and the response to 9/11, we spent $5.8 trillion in our excursions. And I don't think people were at all concerned about the fact that we spent $5.8 trillion in Iraq and Afghanistan. Probably didn't, and other excursions that we're involved in, that people probably say, sure, that's the right thing to do. We did the right thing. The money was well spent. No problem. But now, you know, we're talking about Biden. If what there he is asking for goes through, it'll be over $50 billion for Ukraine. And that's just now. Because everything points to this dragging out and that this is going to continue. You know, it's not just going to end after we invest the amount of money that we're going to invest this time around. We're going to continue to feed Ukraine until, I guess, there's some kind of end. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, war is an open checkbook, apparently. When we get involved
in military matters. Yeah, but we're not at war with them.
Well, I know. When we get involved in military matters, in this case, the journalists wrote about how it was that Russia was accusing us of having a proxy war. They used the word accuse. This is clearly a proxy war. We're clearly opening our checkbook. People are talking about it. We win. You know, win. We win this. You know, we aren't there except we're writing lots of checks and sending lots of money. The estimate for the rebuilding of Ukraine, were Ukraine to win this thing and then need to be rebuilt by the people who are supporting it, the current estimate for rebuilding it is $85 billion, and it's going up remarkably, and I'm sure that's an underestimate. So when you look at the dollars that get spent when we get involved in our military activities, whether they be direct wars or proxy wars, we just open our checkbook and write it. And the Congress doesn't seem to debate it anywhere near the same level of criticism and critical thinking as they would child daycare or the things that we want to enact for the benefit of the American people. So it's really a travesty, I think. It's a travesty because it's a war. It's a travesty because I think we got there without having a fundamental strategic thinking that started this. Once we walked down this path, I think I talked about it in one of the earlier shows, you know, we don't know how our governments decide who our enemies are. And then when we decide who our enemies are, they immediately become our enemy and we their enemy. And then the conduct between those parties becomes very different. And we don't know the extent to which our conduct has precipitated conduct by Russia, which has precipitated a situation that now seems to involve our involvement and Russia's involvement in a path that is going to be very hard to stop and very hard to reverse. Once you get going in something like this, the notion that for instance, Putin is talking about using nuclear weaponry, and we talk about how it is that we shouldn't kowtow and bow to someone's threats, and so we need to maybe rattle our swords louder than Mr. Putin does. Well, now, just look where we are. We've gotten ourselves into this contest in a place that's in a geopolitical place that we have little knowledge of and which is highly complicated. We're now reading about Moldova, Nistria. We're reading about the Kaliningrad and the corridor that runs to Kaliningrad, which is runs through Poland and Lithuania to get there from Belarus. Kaliningrad is part of Russia. Kaliningrad has some of a major Baltic seaport and naval base for Russia. Russia needs to and wants to have access to that land. It's like you bought, if you bought a property that was in the middle of a farm field, you in Wisconsin law, real estate law, you'd have a right of access to that farmland over, you'd have an easement to get there. Well, that's essentially what Russia has in this corridor, the Suwalki corridor that runs through there to Kaliningrad. This is something that might come into play now and will come into play on turf that belongs to Poland and Lithuania, which are part of NATO. Moldova was carved out of Romania. Moldova has Nistria, which is filled with Russian-speaking people. We're now having Moldova attacked. So there's a can of worms that's been opened, and how was it opened? Well, I think that our American foreign policy played a role in it, but now it's almost too late to call a halt to it. At least that's the way our policymakers are looking at it. Hopefully we'll continue to use constraint, but mark my words, these places that we've never heard of, Moldova, Kaliningrad, the Suwalki corridor, and Nistria, 3 weeks from now, more Americans are going to know what I'm talking about when I use those terms.
You know, Sandy, President Biden, early on in this, was reluctant to really get involved or engage. He's been pushed into this.
Well, that's the problem. The talk becomes very machismo, right? We're not going to kowtow. We got to rattle our sword louder. Right. We've got to do what it takes to win this. We got to keep giving. And currently what we have going is a proxy war in which the fatalities are all being experienced by the participants in the war, which are Ukrainians and Russians. And the likelihood, the continued likelihood of this, even amongst the observers, is that ultimately Ukraine will get partitioned, that the Donbas region is likely to succumb to being Russian, to the fait accompli that probably was accomplished at the time of the Crimea annexation is going to be recognized. So we've got the fait accompli of the Crimea. There was this fait accompli of the Donbas and the autonomy that was set up in the treaty of 2014, the Budapest Treaty. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of damage done to Ukraine, its infrastructure, and to its people. And then the question is, what is the outcome?
You know, Sandy, more and more you're hearing Americans, and I don't mean those, you know, talking heads, but average Americans who have said, yes, let's move forward. Let's do this. Let's bail Ukraine out, and let's do whatever it is we have to do. Cavalierly making statements, not knowing, as you stated, just how complex and complicated this is. And they really don't care about right now whether it's complicated or complex. They see that, you know, these people are at war and their hearts bleed because they say, hey, they look just like us. You know, that could very easily be my auntie or in some instances, they are interconnected because, you know, they are those kinds of people. Those are their brothers and sisters. And so it's easy to say, let's go ahead and move forward. We just talked about that $5.8 trillion that was spent. And what did we really get out of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan? I mean, for the $5.8 trillion, nobody can tell me what we got out of that.
No, I mean, we got a bunch of scars. And, you know, it wasn't good. We lost a bunch of people. We lost a lot of treasure. We spent money that could have been spent on other things. We spent money we didn't have. We had deficits the whole time. So we weren't financing this war. We were saddling our children and grandchildren with the deficit.
And yet we also, for the most part, all supported it.
Well, that's because I think instead of doing critical thinking when it comes to foreign policy and being given the facts we could possibly use to become involved with analyzing foreign policy, we're all just obedient. We're obediently patriotic, and we get told by our government essentially what kind of obedience we need to carry out in order to be patriots. And we learn that during the flyovers of the NFL games and other times we have to do the stand up for the Star Spangled Banner and the cover our hearts for the Pledge of Allegiance, and there's a bunch of steps we go through, but ultimately it's to ask us to be absolutely obedient about being in support of whatever it is we do with our military or our military might.
But you know, Sandy, that's okay, and you know, that was all right in the other skirmishes that we were involved in. But you look at the end of this and what could possibly occur, and this does not require that, as you said, that we just sit down and be quiet and just nod our heads like bobbleheads to what's taking place. Because at the end of this is conversations, and not just by, you know, Putin, but many in our, at the United States senators, Joint Chiefs of Staff. These people are all talking about what could be at the end of this.
Well, the problem is that we didn't do an analysis in terms of figuring out how we embarked on this path. We didn't go through a geopolitical analysis that was a sort of a critical and fundamental strategic analysis on our part. We seem to have stumbled into this based on various parts of the government thinking that this was a good idea. But this is geopolitically a very complicated region. The geopolitics of this part of Eurasia, of the Ukrainian part that is surrounded by Romania, Moldova, Dnistria, that has this Kaliningrad part of Russia that is disconnected from Russia, that is disconnected through a corridor that runs through Lithuania and Poland. All of that are factual details that, when you look at it carefully, you can realize how it is that for Russia, this is a very important gain, okay? And for the United States, it's only important because it's important to Russia.
Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Sandy Williams is here. You can join us. We'll be right back.